Praise the Lord. We have come to lesson number 8 of our study of the book of James. And today's lesson is entitled Divine Wisdom versus Human Wisdom. In the last lesson, we have gone into depth about how we can control our tongue, which can be used for good and bad, and we went into depth in that situation. But today, James is switching the topic, and he is asking a question when we come to James chapter 3 and verses 13. Today's lesson will be based on James chapter 3 verses 13 to 16, and the title is Divine Wisdom versus Human Wisdom. We are going to do a case study or an analysis of how divine wisdom is different from human wisdom. So James is asking a question as he in verse number 13, as he's switching over the topic, and he's asking, who is wise and understanding among you? So he asked this question, and then he's trying to answer this question by himself. Now we know that when we look think about wisdom, the one person in the Bible that comes into our mind is King Solomon. Especially we know that he was the one person whom God endured with divine wisdom. Very early in his time when he ascended the throne. I mean, Solomon was the wisest man who ever lived on the earth, as the Bible says. And if you look at his wisdom and what he did, he was an author, he was a poet, he was a songwriter, an artist, a king, a diplomat, a theologian, a teacher, and then he spoke about different elements concerning natural science. So we can call him as a zoologist. He used to speak about emotional situations, so we can term him as a psychologist. He was a philosopher, of course, because when we read some of his books like Ecclesiastes, there's a lot of philosophy that is seen in that book. So he was a philosopher. He was having a lot of money, so he was a financier. He was an engineer because he spoke about some engineering concept, and he was an architect. So looking at Solomon, he was one of the wisest men who ever lived on this earth. But how did he attain this wisdom? When we read in 2 Chronicles chapter 1, and beginning on verse number 6, we see what happened in the case of King Solomon. It says that in verse number 6 and 7 that Solomon went up there before the Lord to the bronze altar which was at the tent of the meeting, and he offered 1,000 burnt offerings on it. In that night God appeared to Solomon and said to him, "Ask what I shall give you." So God gave him an open-ended an open-ended anything you want kind of a question. He said, "Ask and what I shall give you." Now Solomon had just begun his reign, and when God made him this incredible offer, but for Solomon, he did not respond to greed. In fact, we see that he humbly praised God for his goodness, and then this is what he requested. Solomon said to God in verses 8 to 10 of 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles chapter 1, and this is what he said. Solomon said to God, "You have dealt with my father David with great loving kindness and have made me king in his place. Now, O Lord God, your promise to my father David is fulfilled, for you have made me king over a people as numerous as the dust of the earth. Give me now wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before the people, for who can rule this great people of yours?" So we see that Solomon asked for two things from God: wisdom and knowledge. Now, the knowledge that we are talking about is not the theoretical kind of knowledge that is grappling with abstract matters, but this is the ability to apply divine truth to daily life, and that is what he was asking for. Even though he was an intelligent, well-educated king, what Solomon recognized that he lacked wisdom to rule over the people that only God could provide. And so, because of his humility, God was well pleased. And we see in verse number 11 and 12 that God's speaking to Solomon, because you had this in mind and did not ask for riches, wealth or honor, or the life of those who hate you, nor have you even asked for long life, but you have asked for yourself wisdom and knowledge, that you may rule my people over whom I have made you king. Wisdom and knowledge have been granted to you. So God gave him wisdom and knowledge. And I will give you riches and wealth and honor, as none of the kings who were before you have possessed, nor those who will come after you. So, with one stroke, Solomon got everything that he wanted and desired, which was wisdom, knowledge, wealth, riches, honor, all of it together. And so that was in the case of King Solomon. But then we see that James, when he writes his letter to the group of Jews who have been driven from their homeland by persecution, when we come to James chapter 1 verse 2 to 4, and as they were going through trials, which were for a purpose, James is saying that there is one thing that you should ask to God, just like Solomon did, and that is wisdom. So, we see in verse number 5, James chapter 1, 5, where it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So just like Solomon, James is bringing the proposal that we need to ask God for wisdom. And that wisdom is basically to understand the reasons why we go through trials in our life, and that we will be able to cooperate with the plan of God, how he wants to shape us and mold us for his purpose. So, in the case of James, he mentions about wisdom in only one more time apart from that, which is in chapter 3 when he deals with the tongue. James begins with a warning to those who are becoming teachers, as he discusses the two basic tools that teachers use to communicate truth. One, their tongues, which is chapter 3 verses 1 to 12, and number 2, their lives, verses 13 to 18. So here what we are going to dwell in a little more is the importance of wisdom in the life of a teacher, which means that not only our words, but how can we show wisdom through our life. And that is the divine wisdom that Solomon had in mind. And that is where we come to verse number 13, where James is asking, okay, so you are able to control, after controlling your tongue, how can you show wisdom through your life? And James is asking the question, who is the wise and understanding among you? Now, we need to understand that there is a great difference between divine wisdom and human wisdom. Just like there is a counterfeit currency for a real currency, wisdom has its counterfeits. So, beginning with verse number 13, James is showing us how we can recognize the divine wisdom that God provides us. So, number one, the divine wisdom is genuine. There are two tests that James is giving us to test somebody who is wise. In verse number 13, it says that, let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. Or let him show by his good behavior, his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. So the first test that James mentions, how to recognize divine wisdom, is in good behavior. The behavior is that we are returning to the truth and we are exemplifying the truth of God's word. So what James is saying here is that a wise person is someone whose life is changing in accordance to the truth of God's word. So the first test is good behavior. The second test is gentle deeds. So in the gentleness or meekness of wisdom. No, not only that you are showing by good conduct or good behavior, but whatever you are doing, it is gentle. Now, the word gentle, we need to understand that gentleness is not that somebody is afraid or soft or is not able to speak out because of weakness or something. The gentleness is, for example, let us just imagine a wild horse. That horse has a lot of strength, stamina and potential. But when that horse is harnessed and when that wild horse is broken up, to be able to control with the bit of the horseman, we see that the horse, even though the horse is very strong, can run very fast, do many things, but the horse under the reins of the horseman or the jockey is gentle. It's that strength, but out of a gentleness. So that is what James is referring to. They are harnessed. The strength and the spirit of the horse is harnessed by the person who is riding on that horse. So gentleness is referred to having the strength within, but is able to use that strength in a very pleasing way. So being wise has got nothing to do with the IQ or being eloquent, but the test of wisdom is a life that is patterned after the truth and which is under control. A life which is under control. Now, one of the greatest problems of new believers is that they want to hit the road running and they think that they can achieve a lot of things and they feel that people are not doing to their pace. They are not fast enough. But actually, true wisdom is when your life is balanced by the gentleness and control that Apostle Paul described to his spiritual son Timothy. We read that in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 24 to 25, where he speaks about the servant of the Lord. He says, must not be quarrelsome, must be kind to all, be able to teach, patient when being wronged, and gentleness connected to those who are in opposition. So that is a gentleness that we are speaking about. So wisdom is not just the accurate words that are being spoken, but in a gentle spirit that they are being spoken. So the two tests is again good behavior or good one is good behavior and the other is the gentleness or gentle deeds. And that is what that we need to understand. Now on the other side, the human wisdom, it is a counterfeit of the real one. So in verse number 14, we read about what is the marks, what are the marks of human wisdom. It says, but if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart. So he starts with two marks of a person who has human wisdom, which is counterfeit of the divine wisdom that God provides. The two marks are number one, jealousy, and number two, they are selfish ambition. And it says that they are in your heart. They are embedded motives. They are hidden motives in the heart. So jealousy or envy, it begins with empty heart, hands, and then your you're sad that you don't have it. So you're there's a difference between envy and jealousy. Envy is when you don't have something and you are actually disturbed by that you don't have it. On the other hand, jealousy is that you have everything, but then you are threatened that you are going to lose it, what you already have. So you are jealous. Now, an unwise person is someone who tends to be suspicious, resistant, and who is always given to rivalry. So the first mark is jealousy. The second mark is selfish ambition. What is a selfish ambition? It is a desire to be seen, courted, respected, honored. And it's a motive that drives people to push themselves to the top. And even Apostle Paul refers to such people in Philippians chapter 1, verse 15 to 17, as those who are preaching about Christ, but they are preaching out of selfish ambition rather than pure motives. And they are hungered by position, and power and fame and popularity, but not for gentleness and good behavior. So the wise, the truly wise people, however, they open and allow God to open doors in their life that instead of forcing it by themselves. Now, as we come down, we are going to see the characteristics of false wisdom. As he discusses, starting from verse number 14, James speaks about five characteristics of false wisdom. And we start with the second part of James chapter 3 and verse number 14. And it says, "Do not be arrogant or so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not which comes from above, but is earthly, natural, and demonic." So James starts with saying the five characteristics of human wisdom. Number one, it's arrogant. Arrogant is that you are rationalizing your own sins, boasting that the end justifies the means, and that you are kind of simply proud, and that is a sin against God. And that is something that in many of the churches and even in spiritual circles, we can see people who are very arrogant about what they have. And that is not a sign, that's not out of God's wisdom. We need to understand. The second characteristic is that it says you lie against the truth, which means lying against the truth is that when this person's life is out of step with scriptures, which is the truth, then there is a manipulation of the truth in their lives to justify everything that they are doing against God. This actually is a self-deception. It is like you are trying to construct a particular object, and then you find the measurement is wrong, and instead of starting all over again, you are trying to fix on whatever you have done, and your whatever you build ends up in a total waste, and which cannot be used for anybody's good. So that is how you are saying that you lie against the truth. So that is the second characteristic of human wisdom. The third characteristic we see in verse number 15, it is earthly, which means false wisdom has an earthly origin. It views everything from a strictly a horizontal perspective, like earthly success, earthly standards, earthly motives, earthly attitudes, earthly methods, and earthly everything. Everything is based upon how people view things from the world. So that is the third characteristic of human wisdom. The fourth is it's natural, which means it is soulish. It is fleshly, not relating to the Spirit of God. And this wisdom is limited to things that are temporary and not things that are eternal. The fifth characteristic is that it is demonic, which is it is a characteristic of demons. It's brilliant, seems to know a great deal even about God, but truly their lives have not changed. There is no change. There is no obedience. There is no yielding to the will of God. And that is a demonic. So these are the five characteristics that we see. So when we come to the next verse, verse number 16, and we will close here, we see the results of this human wisdom or false wisdom. It reminds us that while the in the earlier portion, we see about in verse number 14, we see the roots of false wisdom, which is a bitter jealousy and selfish ambition. Here in verse number 16, James is identifying the fruit. And we see in verse number 16, for where jealousy and self-ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. So there is confusion and every evil thing. So the two things that are the results or the fruits of human wisdom, number one, it is disorder. It is more than confusion, actually. It means there is disharmony, there is antagonism, there is an absence of unity and stability. And it results in being rivals and trying to tear others up instead of building things out of love. And that wisdom is not something that God is pleased with. The second thing is that it says every evil thing. It's just like a Pandora's box opening. It lifts up the lid of everything that is worthless, petty and evil. Like a human heart, where Jesus speaks in Mark chapter 7 verse 20 to 23. It is a home, or it is a box that contains everything that is evil. And that is the fruit of human wisdom, that we can see the list of all those things, all the evil things that should come out of our heart. So we understand that the way that we can know a tree is by the fruit. So when you see this kind of fruit that is coming out of the life of a person, being in disharmony and disorder and seeing evil things that come out of their lives, even in their words and deeds, we know that the person does not have true wisdom. But he is full of human wisdom. And we need to understand that that has to be revealed in our life. When we come back to Solomon's case, he got wisdom from God in all its abundance. But unfortunately, what we see in his life, he ended up being somebody who went after worshipping idols, and his end was a tragedy. And even though the world's wisest man became the world's wisest fool, we need to understand that we need to fear God. As it says in Proverbs chapter 1 verse 7, the fear of the Lord is a beginning of wisdom, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So we need to fear God. We need to ask wisdom from God, and we need to distinguish between divine wisdom and human wisdom. I pray that as I conclude this lesson here today, that may your life reflect the true wisdom of God, the true wisdom that God alone wants, which is genuine, that will show up by your good behavior and gentle deeds, and avoid any kind of human standards and the counterfeit wisdom that the world promotes. But let us move forward to get the true wisdom that God alone can give. May God bless you with these words this day. Thank you.